We're going inside them. We're going outside them. Inside them, outside them. And when they get them on a run once, we're going to keep them on a run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on a run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today, we're going to win.
It's a fake. The throw to Domingue. He bobbles it, and then it hits to the end zone. Touchdown.
Let's just go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. 4th and 5. The national championship on the line right here. He's going for the corner.
Welcome, followers. We are live on the Gump's Corner Podcast Network. Hello. Thanks for joining. My name is Bobby Berger, former Notre Dame football player, now college football aficionado. The goal is to be the premier college football podcast. Good week last week. DFS 4-1 on the podcast picks, 18-9 on the year against the spread. If you're wondering how I'm doing today, so this week we had our first Tuesday college football game of the year, Louisiana versus App State. Game that should have been better than what it was. So I turn it on. My wife goes, what's this? I said, oh, it's live football. Good game. You know, Louisiana, App State. Her response is, no. We watch football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. To make a long story short, and a brief debate short, I should say, I watched Dancing with the Stars on Tuesday night. Moving on, let's get into football. Time for the trivia question. Had this one tuned up for last week. Sorry for last week. The podcast just didn't record. all kinds of maybe on the big dummy of the week last week for messing up recording. That thing is frustrating. But anyways, it's a trivia question I borrowed from last week. No one heard it because it didn't record. Anyways, I want you to name the college mascot or nickname for these four schools. I actually have a bonus one. So really five schools. Houston, Tulane, Coastal Carolina, Arkansas State. These four teams played last Thursday. Houston, Tulane, Coastal Carolina, Arkansas State. The bonus is UTSA. Houston, Tulane, Coastal Carolina, Arkansas State. And for bonus, UTSA. Give me their nicknames. Let's play the theme music. All right, mascots and nicknames. Houston, they are the Cougars. Tulane is the Green Waves. Coastal Carolina, the Chanticleers. Arkansas State, the Red Wolves. In the bonus, UTSA, who's 6-0, are the Roadrunners. God love the Roadrunners. Hats off if you got UTSA in the bonus. You got all five? You know your shit. Congratulations. Let's get into our slate breakdown.
Wrong side!
Left side!
First game of the slate here. Let's get into it. Kentucky at Georgia. Georgia's a 23.5-point favorite. The over-under is 44.5. Let's talk about this line. That's a lot of points for a pretty good team in Kentucky. I'm not sure they're a great team because I think LSU stinks. I'm staying away here. I think the tendency might be to take Kentucky, but Georgia's number one in success rate against the run. This is a historically great defense through this part of the year. Brian Fermo does the FEI for Football Outsiders. He was on the pod last year. He's like the godfather of football analytics. He's been doing this for ages. And Georgia's defense is like on pace to be one of the greatest defenses he's ever tracked. Can they continue? I don't know. But they're off to a damn good start. My worry here is if Kentucky can't run it, Georgia gets up a little bit, what happens if Kentucky starts throwing the ball? Do they start to throw pick sixes and next thing you know, this game gets out of hand? That's my concern. That's my only concern why I'm not taking Kentucky here. Wandale Robinson is going to have to be Superman. He's the wide receiver from Kentucky, transferred from Nebraska. He's going to have to be Superman for Kentucky to keep anywhere near close this game because you – really can't run it on Georgia. I don't think they've been tested a ton through the air, but you definitely can't run it against Georgia. Kentucky, they're really good. really good limiting explosive plays, which Georgia's not really known for explosive plays. So I think they'll be able to move the ball down the field okay. As long as Georgia plays turnover free, they should handle this game no problem. DFS side, you just complete X. You like when Georgia's on the slate because this is one less game you got to think of. And that's what we're going to do here. Big red X, Kentucky, Georgia. You earned it. Next one, let's stay in the SEC. Florida at LSU. Florida's a 10-point favorite, over-under 58.5. You just heard me. I don't think LSU's any good. I really don't. They cannot run the ball to save their lives. Like, they are really, really, really struggling to run the ball. 113th in success rate running the ball, 117th in rushing explosion. And it's not like they played murderer's row. They have to throw the ball ninth. They're the ninth highest rate of passing in football. Right, they have to pass the ball so much, it's crazy. Florida's pretty good against the Bats. They got some pretty athletic guys in the secondary. And then you look at the other side of the ball, like, this just isn't the LSU team of old. I think Florida – and don't forget, last year, you know, this was a game Florida needed to have because if Florida then goes in the SEC championship game, beats Bama, they make it to the playoffs. And Florida lost the game to LSU. That's the game where Florida had LSU stopped and one of the Florida DBs takes off the LSU guy's shoe, chucks the shoe for like 15 yards and gets a 15-yard penalty. Dumbest play of the year. Nonetheless, Florida owes one to LSU for knocking them out of the playoff last year. And I think they absolutely pummel them. That is going to be my first selection of the week, Florida minus 10. Got that one earlier in the week. And DFS-wise, I love Florida. I think they're going to blow them out, so let's play them. The problem is they rotate a ton. Emory Jones, a quarterback, though, he's really interesting. He could definitely run for 100 and a touchdown. He's on my radar. Running backs, they probably rotate. Wide receivers, maybe Jacob Copeland. He's the guy. I really think Florida's just going to run it up and embarrass LSU. And this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back for Coach O. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe LSU kind of rallies around this game, but I just don't see it. They lost their best wide receiver. Boot, he's out for the year. Another promising receiver, Deion Smith. He looks to be out this game. And, again, you're playing against a really good pass defense in Florida. You're going to need Jack Betch. He's a wide receiver. You could probably play him in DFS. Trey Palmer, he's been dinged up. Maybe Brian Thomas. You can take flyers on one of those guys because you know Florida's not going to be – or LSU's not going to be able to run the ball. They can't run the ball, and they don't run the ball often. So give me all the Florida, all the Gators, minus 10, first pick, lock it up. Big horse of the week. All right, because there was a mess up in last week's pod, last week it was the Ball State defense. The players and coaching staff, they limited Army to 3.7 yards per play. And Army is a really good option offense. I mean, they've been doing it really, really well for a number of years. And when they have a good quarterback, good system, like they do this year, they're doing pretty decent. And as I've always said, defending the option is about three things: toughness, discipline, and scheme. Toughness, discipline, scheme. And they executed flawlessly. They got the shutout. Shout out to coaches, players. Ball State, you're the big horse of the week from last week. This week, all of college football gets the award. I mean, talk about barn burner games, nail biter. You kick off with Texas and Oklahoma. Then you get Ole Miss and Arkansas. And then you get Alabama at the end of the night. I know Notre Dame, Virginia Tech came down the wire. I mean, just Nebraska, Michigan. I needed like four TVs at like 10 o'clock, 11 last night. I was just switching back and forth to these games. They're all so awesome. So, college football is just a reminder why it's so awesome. You are the big horse of the week. Got some Big Ten action here. Purdue at Iowa. Iowa, 11.5-point favorite. Over-under is 44. Iowa's generating, get this, 3.3 turnovers per game. 3.3 turnovers. Now, one part of me says, okay, this is luck. Turnovers are luck. You know, there's fumbles involved. There's tip balls go your way. And then the other side of me is, okay, you can play really sound defense and force the opponent to make dumb mistakes and bad decisions. I think you're probably more of the latter, but you definitely have to have a little bit of both to have 3.3 turnovers per game generated every single game on average. So I'm actually going to take Purdue in this one. Purdue 11.5. I think Iowa's coming off a tough one. A tough, hard fought win, awesome win against Penn State. And I think almost when you're at home, I think you almost think the crowd and the home environment take care of itself. I think sometimes it's easier to get rid of the distractions when you play on the road after a big win. So I'm not sure that helps Iowa. And the way to beat Iowa is you can create one-on-one matchups down the field in that cover three defense. And if you have a wide receiver that can just beat those cornerbacks, you got a chance. And Purdue has one of the best receivers in the country. That's David Bell. You can play him in DFS. I actually like him as a complete under-the-radar play. He tore these guys up last year. Purdue actually beat Iowa last year. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Rondale Moore did not play in that game. But if you look at Purdue, they've actually been really good defending the run. The only thing that gets Purdue is the explosive pass. And that is not Iowa's strength. Absolutely not Iowa's strength. I feel pretty confident if Purdue can limit turnovers, which is really, really hard to do against the best turnover creating team in the country, I think they got a chance here to not only cover, but I actually think they can pull the upset. Call me crazy. Lock it in, Purdue plus 11.5. That is a selection. DFS wise, David Bell, and then Iowa, you have Tyler Goodson. We mentioned last week, they're doing more with him in the pass game. We'd like to see that. Iowa's getting a little creative in offense, which Kirk Ferentz, I mean, he must have been a big deal to split out Goodson in the slot for the first time. It's like, whoa, splitting out a wide running back into the slot. Well, this is new. I maybe had to convince, maybe took four meetings to convince him to do that. Be a lot easier just run out in the power eye every game. In every play. Anyways, those are the guys we're targeting there. And we've got Purdue 11.5 in the Big Ten. Nebraska at Minnesota. Nebraska minus 3.5, overrunners 48. I should take Nebraska. They are the better team. They're much better than the record. This is a great matchup for Nebraska. Minnesota, all they do is run the ball. Nebraska has some hogs up front. They actually do a pretty good job of limiting the big play in the run game. They're a pretty decent defense. Minnesota's hurting at running back a little bit. But Nebraska just finds every way to lose the game. They're going to be the more penalized team. They're going to make a dumb decision on special teams, and they'll throw like a pick six or do something stupid to lose the game. So I think if you're wagering Nebraska and you lose, you get what you deserve. That's just the bottom line. You're going to look great for three quarters, and then next thing you know, fourth quarter's going to come around, and you're going to lose. So I'm out of Nebraska. DFS-wise, Adrian Martinez, he's a stud. Obviously, he can break the slate. He has big-time rushing ability. I mean, Illinois bottled up Adrian Martinez the entire game. Martinez goes for 75 or so yard touchdown run, hits value, no problem. And he always can do that, so you got to watch out for that. Samori Toure, the wide receiver, he's the guy I like. Good matchup, slow pace. Minnesota plays slow as nails. Rashawn Johnson, Nebraska running back. He's kind of morphed into their lead guy. He's done pretty good. Decent matchup here. Again, slow pace. And you look at the Minnesota side, like I said, they're struggling. They're hurting. Running back Trey Potts, who's hospitalized. Hope he's okay. They already lost running back Moe Ibrahim. Achilles injury. He's out for the year. And it looks like Row the Boat should have left town because the stock of Row the Boat coach P.J. Fleck is going down. Again, the team's gotten hurt a little bit, but really, if you look at his recruiting, he really hasn't recruited that well. He's a pretty good X's and O's coach as far as drawing up run plays and taking shots. Their defense could be a little bit better, but his recruiting, like, if you want to be a top coach, you better damn well be a good recruiter. And if I'm another team out there, I just don't love the idea of having a head coach who's not a great recruiter, because the moment you start missing on recruits, and I mean, the first line of John Wooden's book is the team with the most talent wins the majority of games. That's John Wooden, the guy who's known for, you know, all these rah-rahs and leadership and, you know, all this fun stuff. First line of his book, the team with the most talent wins the majority of the games. Minnesota needs to improve their talent if they want to continue. They're not ascending this year, but if they want to, have a chance in the Big Ten, they need to get better talent. Again, off the game, Nebraska, Minnesota. You bet Nebraska, you get what you deserve. That's the bottom line. Big dummy of the week.
A lot of miscommunication there, and that one Doesn't feel good, and it's embarrassing.
College game day, congratulations. You are our big dummy of the week. Being in Cincinnati, we had the privilege to be pretty close to the UC program, a lot of top donors. So get this. College game day one, I can confirm, they've told multiple coaches who they told the administration, who then told the big donors, that ESPN College game day had contacted the school of Cincinnati and said, listen, we're going to be there for college game day for this UCF game next weekend. This was like last Thursday or Friday. And again, the administration felt so confident that they told all the big donors, and I can confirm that. So what does college game day do? They reneged on that, completely reneged on that, and they decided to go to, of all places, Georgia. They were at Georgia 2 weeks ago, and they've already done a Georgia game. This is the third Georgia game and second time going to Athens. Is it the biggest game of the week? Absolutely. But I got problems. One, you go against your word, you're a piece of shit. That's the bottom line. Two, I think the idea of college game day is to grow the game. I'm not debating that Georgia's the biggest game of the week. It is the biggest game of the week, but you're probably going to go to Georgia, Alabama, and the SEC championship, all right? Why don't you go to a D2 game? Why don't you go to D3 game? There are 130 FBS schools, and you went to the same place. You're going to the same place twice in 3 weeks. That is not growing the game. I'm actually more inclined to college game day, to watch college game day when they go to a place that they've never gone before, because people appreciate it. And I'm not saying Georgia isn't appreciated. Maybe they do, but go to a different place. You can still talk about the Georgia-Kentucky game somewhere else. So I just kind of, you go against your word like that and slight someone that, and because maybe someone made a phone call because you have a TV contract, that's how you lose viewers. So until you shape up your game, I'm just going to watch Fox pregame when I have time on Saturdays. And I direct my viewers to, too. Because when you make a decision like that to go against your word, that tells me everything I need to know about you. Fox has a chance this week. ESPN College game day, you are the big dummy of the week. SEC game, Auburn at Arkansas. Arkansas, 3.5-point favorite, over under 53. Man, tough for both of these schools. You have Auburn. Actually played really well against Georgia. They did. They dropped a bunch of passes. They completely blew it in the red zone. And then you have Arkansas just dropped a heartbreaker, absolute thriller to Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Who responds better? You know, who comes back and says, you know what? We got to pick up a jockstrap and play this week. And I just don't know. And for that reason, it's a complete stay away. So you got to really look at the psyche of both of these teams. DFS-wise, Auburn is just really not that interesting. I'm sure the running back's really good. Other than that, man, I can't play Bo Nix. I just can't do it. Just not in my DNA, and Auburn kind of plays a little bit slower. Tank Bigsby at running back, maybe, although they're rotating a little bit. Demetrius Robinson at wide receiver, he's actually been decent for them, so maybe on him. Arkansas, it's pretty simple. You got KJ Jefferson, quarterback, dual threat, solid player. Treylon Smith, running back, solid player. And then you got Treylon Burks, wide receiver, one of the fastest guys in America, solid player. So it's a very narrow tree. You just have to decide, hey, how is it best to attack Auburn? How are they going to, you know, defend them? Because Auburn's actually a little worse against the pass than the run. So something I also need to look at is how does Auburn defend the rushing quarterback? So I need to go back in games and kind of look at the game log between Auburn and Penn State and say, hey, how did Sean Clifford do? He's a little bit of a running quarterback. And how did he do against Auburn? So I think that's a good practice when you play against a rushing quarterback. You get an idea of like, hey, what's a similar scheme on offense that they played that could give me an idea on, hey, maybe are they going to overcommit to the running back or overcommit to the quarterback in the zone read? I think that's a good principle to look at when you're deciding, hey, should I play the running back, quarterback from the zone read attack? And like I said, Arkansas -3.5, complete stay away, just no idea who's going to respond well. UCF at Cincinnati. Cincinnati -21, over-under is 57.5. This should be a blowout. You know, Gabriel getting hurt completely changed the dynamic of UCF. Guy was pretty good. Now you have Gus Malzahn running the show. I really feel like I should take Cincinnati. I lean that way. I just can't pull the trigger for some reason. I know UCF has some talent, and they're one team that could, you know, could at least try to get up for this game. They know how big of a game it is. It's on ABC. You just see funky things happen when group of five teams get into primetime situations. It just doesn't happen very often. I think Cincinnati is now used to being in primetime, but UCF, you know, again, a primetime, who knows? I don't know. I'm out on most of their players. Attacking Cincinnati is not a good idea. Then you have Desmond Ridder on the other side, Jerome Ford, their studs, Alec Pierce. He's their top receiver. You can play all of them. They're all in a great matchup. It seems like either Ford or Ridder dominates every week against one or the other. Ford hasn't been used a ton in the pass game this year. I know they have plays for him. They just haven't used him. But then you're looking at Desmond Ridder. This just seems like a Heisman kind of pad the stats type of game on national TV, you know, getting a little bit of publicity now against UCF. It just really feels like a pad the stats kind of game. So that's kind of where we are with Desmond Ridder. Doctor's selections. Doctor's picks. Sorry to disappoint. Doc doesn't have any picks this week. 4-1 of the year, 21-17-1. You had a good week last year or last week. Picks were posted on Twitter since the podcast didn't work. And it's again, it's okay. You get busy one week. You can't have time to do the research. Don't force the picks. There's always next week. There's always a Thursday game, Friday game, Saturday game. Hell, we're almost into Maction. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Maction. So it's okay. It's okay to stay away for a time or two. Keep that in mind. SEC action, Texas A&M at Missouri. Texas A&M, 8.5-point favorite, over-under 58.5. That is a bet for me. Texas A&M, -8.5. We're going to go ahead and lock that in. You look at the talent disparity here. Texas A&M has some dudes. You go toe-to-toe with Alabama, and you outplay them. Looking at the advanced stats at the end of the game, they outplayed Alabama. You don't outplay Alabama without some dudes on your team. And Texas A&M has recruited their asses off. Whether Jimbo Fisher's got it done legally or illegally, they have really freaking good players there. They have NFL players all over that roster. The question mark was the quarterback. And the quarterback played really, really well. Maybe it was just a fluke game, but he played really well. I'm hoping that that game last week, I think the majority of people are saying, well, they're coming off a huge win, maybe they have a letdown. I actually think for a team like Texas A&M, I think they needed some confidence. And that was a huge confidence builder, you know, beating the best team in the country there, especially for the quarterback to say, hey, you know what? I did well against Alabama. I can definitely do well against Missouri. And honestly, they're not even probably going to need the quarterback because Missouri's run defense is so bad. Missouri has problems. They just fire their defensive line coach. You start getting into that, like, firing coaches thing, you got problems. So we're taking Texas A&M -8.5. And that said, you can take any of the Texas A&M players in DFS. Don't love the quarterback, he had a runner, but Isaiah Spiller, got to love him. He is a little dinged up. So Achane is the backup running back, and that guy hit a top speed when it comes to kickoff return last week. Just blazed by Alabama guys, which doesn't happen often. Wide receivers, Weidermeyer, fire him up. Anaya Smith, fire him up. I think Texas A&M guy should be popular. I will eat that chalk. They should absolutely score well on Missouri. Missouri side, Tyler Beatty, he is their offense. He legit is the offense. He gets runs. The only thing that's concerning is he really hasn't caught the ball, caught many passes. His value was in getting like 5 or 6 passes a week, which is why he's so expensive on daily fantasy sites. And right now, I don't know. I'm on the fence with him, whether I go there or not. I'm on the fence. It's something I'll have to dig into more. But we take Texas A&M -8.5, lock it up. Michigan State to Indiana. Michigan State -4.5, over-under 51.5. I'm going to continue to ride the Sparty. I think I got Sparty figured out this year, just when I say this, watching Blues. But Sparty's hard to defend on offense for opponents. They have a good offensive line. You know, they got some skies back. They have a really good running back. And then you have not one but two wide receivers in Reed and Naylor who are pretty good. And the quarterback's a capable dude. I mean, he's had a pretty good year. When you have two wide receivers or multiple wide receivers, it makes it really, really, really hard on the defense to guard that. You cannot scheme for one guy or the other guy is going to blow you up. And then if you want to take away the wide receivers, then you got the running game. You got Kenneth Walker, who in a decent offensive line, they're content running the ball down your throat all game. And Kenneth Walker's generally made the first person miss all year. He's been phenomenal. So you have to like Michigan State here, their offense. And part of the reason I like it, I mean, Indiana's going to play with a backup quarterback, Jack Cuttle. Penix is out, which, I mean, hell, you could make the argument that he can't be much worse than Penix. Penix just wasn't having a very good year. But just give me 4.5 here, Indiana. Just 4.5 Michigan State, lock it up. They're the better team. Indiana, they have a home game, but that place is going to be dead. That's a total basketball school. And when the football team's not winning, no one's going to be in that stadium. So I'm not buying the home field advantage at all. One of the other reasons I like Michigan State, -4.5, lock it up. And, yes, you can play. Not playing Thorne, the quarterback, but Reed, Naylor. You saw Reed's upside. He's crazy. Or Naylor's upside last week. He went crazy. Kenneth Walker is super cheap. He's going to be popular. Indiana does have a good defense. The problem is they're on the field the entire game because their offense is so pitiful. Just absolutely pitiful. So yeah, give me Michigan State, everything, giving them in DFS, maybe run it back in DFS with, a guy like Peyton Hendershot, the tight end, or Ty Freifogel, the wide receiver. I like Freifogel's talent. I do. He's just not having a good year this year. Anatomy of an upset.
Appalachian State has stunned the college football world. One of the greatest upsets.
This game is a week and a half old at this point, but I had this on for last week, and I'm going to use it again because I think you're going to start to see, like, games like these kind of influence some of my selections and how I go about things and what the public thinks versus what actually might have happened on the field, just some fluky wins. And Kentucky 20, Florida 13, anatomy of an upset. Huge win for the Wildcats. I'm not taking anything away from what they did in the field. Begs the question, is Kentucky a football school? Man, I don't know. I tell you what, Coach Kyle, you better figure it out. Anyways, the Gators had a 384-224 edge in offense, 160 more yards than they did, 5.4 to 4.8 yards per play edge. It's decent. Kentucky went 1 of 9 on third down and won the freaking game. 1 of 9 on third down, won the game. One third down conversion in the year of our Lord 2021, they won the football game. Florida goes 15 of 115 in penalties. That is absurdly bad. And the kiss of death was obviously not only ending the game in Kentucky's red zone, but having a blocked field goal returned for a touchdown. Florida's kicking, blocked, Kentucky all the way down the field, touchdown. That's a 10-point swing. You take that blocked field goal out, and it's a 16-13 Florida win, and they're kneeling the ball out, and the narrative all changes. I mean, hey, shout out to Kentucky finding a way. I really think they should move up in the polls. Wins matter. Let's make wins matter. But when it comes to selections, Florida's still the better team than Kentucky. I think that was pretty damn clear in the field. It just so happened that Kentucky won that day. So congratulations, Florida, Kentucky. You made the anatomy of an upset. BYU at Baylor. Nice, interesting little matchup here. Baylor, 6-point favorite. The over/under is 50. Interesting here. The offensive coordinator at Baylor used to work as the offensive coordinator at BYU just last year. So he's used to going up against the BYU defense all the time. This is actually a pretty good matchup for Baylor against what BYU likes to do. BYU is more like, hey, we're going to put, you know, three guys up the line of scrimmage, huge dudes. Two linebackers are going to play pretty close, and everyone else is going to play way the hell back because we're not going to get beat deep. That's just that's BYU's MO, at least what they try to do. They try to limit the big plays. And Baylor, you look what they do. They run a bunch of they run the quarterback a lot, run the running back a lot of wide zone. I think wide zone would do really well against that scheme. So it might be a tough game for BYU, but I still think BYU is pretty good. It just so happened they turned the ball over four times against Boise, which didn't help them. I think BYU is decent. So it's a stay away for me. Although my lean would be Baylor because of the style of play here. As far as guys to take, Bo Hannon for Baylor, I mean, we look at his upside last week. Guy was phenomenal. When he runs the ball in for touchdowns, he's big time. Snead and Thornton, he blew the top off last week. Hats off to him. He gets a helmet sticker. Maybe, but like I said, BYU really likes to limit those big plays. And then BYU side, Jaren Hall, the quarterback, is back. That's good. He's a solid player. Maybe interest in Tyler Algier. He's a good running back. But other than that, it's kind of hard to take a BYU receiver because they will spread it around to three guys and then the running back and then the tight end and the fullback. And they have a couple of rotations of wide receivers. Not interested there. No pick for that game. Pittsburgh at Virginia Tech. Pittsburgh -5 over 57.5. Virginia Tech's not that good in offense. It's just bottom line. They will play slow. Their defense is actually decent, but the reality is they're really just not a good offensive team. Just not that good on offense. They almost revitalized Notre Dame's run game last week. Virginia Tech likes to really limit the big play too. This whole Kenny Pickett talk, like, yeah, he's pretty good, but have you guys seen who Pittsburgh has played this year? I mean, they might have played the literally the weakest schedule in the country, and that's my one gripe with someone like Pro Football Focus. When Pro Football Focus looks to grade guys, the opponent does not matter. You could go against, you know, Myles Garrett, Cleveland Browns defensive end superstar, or you could go against like a trying to think of a bad defense, like a backup guy for Jacksonville Jaguars. That offensive tackle is going to get graded whether he makes the block or doesn't make the block. It has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with whether you're facing Myles Garrett or backup defensive end from the Jaguars. And that's important because they also grade college guys. And Kenny Pickett has played the easiest schedule in college football, like pretty damn freaking easy. And he's looked awesome. Good for him. He's beat bad teams. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he hasn't turned a quarter. He's a solid quarterback. Is he Superman? No, that's what I'm trying to say. I want to see him prove it to me against, you know, a little bit better teams. Virginia Tech's not a great team either. But I'm going to a little lower on Kenny Pickett than most because of the schedule he's played. And I think he's getting pubbed that, you know, doesn't take into account any opponent adjusted stuff. Same with EPA. That stuff doesn't take into account opponent. Little digression there, but nonetheless, Pittsburgh alternates running backs. Jordan Addison, he's good. Mac, he's a solid receiver. You can play those guys. They have good matchups. There's lots of place to be Virginia Tech. It's hard to take a guy at Virginia Tech. They rotated quarterbacks last week, which is tough. And then they rotate running backs, maybe Turner, maybe Robinson, a wide receiver, because the way to beat Pittsburgh is throwing the ball deep. Maybe one of those two guys. It's just those wide receivers have proved, you know, time and time again, they're not making plays like that. So I should take Pittsburgh, but I want to see it from Kenny Pickett. I want to see it from Kenny Pickett. So we'll see, and we'll sit in the sidelines for this week. Coach of the week.
No man is more important than the team. No coach is more important than the team. The team.
Coach of the week. We talked about the Roadrunners. In the trivia question, let's recognize the coach, Jeff Traylor, second year man, is actually a former Big 12 recruiter of the year when he was at Texas. His team is off to a 6-0 start, and they just found a way to freaking win. 7-4 a year ago, he took over a regime that was 19-29 over 4 years. Crazy thing is, this UTSA program wasn't even around prior to like 2010-ish. So shout out to Jeff Traylor, has the Roadrunners to a 6-0 start. Speaking of Texas, and actually Traylor was an assistant coach at Texas when he was the Big 12 recruiter of the year. Can't remember if I mentioned that or not. Texas hosts Oklahoma State. Texas is a 5-point favorite. The over-under is 60. I don't think I'm gonna take anyone in this game. It does feel though like Texas can score on anyone in the country. Like their offense is almost at that elite level where it's like it doesn't matter who their opponent is, they are going to score against anyone in the country. Casey Thompson has played well, and Steve Sarkisian has done a phenomenal job mixing it up, calling plays. His sequencing is absolutely unbelievable. Running back Bijan Robinson, you can play him any week. Casey Thompson, you can play him any week. Big injury for Texas. Jordan Whittington goes down with injury. That's a big one. He's a really good player for them. Really good, almost like possession type of receiver, reliable, talented kid. He's out for a while. He might not, see him all year. Looks like collarbone, unfortunately. Xavier Worthy, holy cow. This wide receiver from Texas can freaking fly. And if you watched Texas-Oklahoma last week, you saw first play of the game for Texas, 75-yard touchdown Worthy. And I think he had over 200 yards receiving. So absolutely interested in him. Joshua Moore, you know, he kind of came back from the dead. We thought he was kind of lost, kind of down the depth chart. But, hey, he had two touchdowns last week. He played well. And he's going to get more shots than Whittington hurt. So we have to be interested in him. Other side, Oklahoma State, you got Spencer Sanders, quarterback. You got running back. Jalen Warren, he's going to get all the work he can. And then you got ex-wide receiver Tay Martin. You know, some – you look at college football, a lot of things are just scheme. Like, there's certain truths in college football where – if you have one coordinator, one coach who's been there a long time, you just play guys in that scheme at certain positions, they're going to do well every single year. Like, for example, the ex-wide receiver at Oklahoma State. For years and years and years, for whatever reason, how they scheme everything up, the ex-wide receiver dominates. It seems like none of these wide receivers do well in the NFL, but they dominate at Oklahoma State. And Tay Martin's that guy this year, so fire him up. And running backs, actually another position where Oklahoma State's had some really good running backs. And some of them have done pretty decent in the NFL. Some of them haven't. But Jalen Warren's going to get all the work he can get. And he's going to get – he could get up to 30 carries in the right environment. Oklahoma State's defense is really good. It's been solid. They really haven't played an offense like Texas yet. And I do feel like Texas can score on anyone in the country. They're that freaking good. So this is one of the games I'm actually really excited about watching. From that aspect, and I'm going to stay away there. You know, Texas coming off a hard loss where, you know, basically, you know, you weren't out of it and lost against Arkansas, but that loss against Oklahoma, you can't make the college football playoff with two losses. So how are they going to handle it? I don't know. We're going to find out. Miami, Florida at North Carolina, UNC -7, over under 63.5. I'm going to take the Tar Heels here against my better judgment. The Tar Heels aren't that good this year. They're really not. They get in some bad situations. Their defense isn't good. And their quarterback, Sam Howell, he takes too many sacks, doesn't have good pocket presence. And for that reason, I just don't love Sam Howell. Anyways, on the flip side is why I'm taking this. So De'Aaron King, Miami star quarterback, unfortunately is out for the season surgery. There's a beat reporter on Twitter. He quoted the head coach of Miami, Florida, who just can't seem to avoid their big dummy of the week, and said that, I guess he said that De'Aaron King had opted for surgery or decided on surgery. I can't remember how he said it. De'Aaron King retweets with comment and says, like, really? Like, opted? As like, dude, this was an injury I had literally no choice but to get surgery for. And when you have the quarterback publicly chastising a coach for some of his comments, you lost the team. Because I'm sure De'Aaron King has a bunch of buddies on the team, and he's just out there like, dude, if you're going to lie to the media about someone getting hurt, what does that mean about you? And that could have a bunch of guys just jumping off the ship of the Miami, Florida program, and you already almost feels like having a lame duck coach anyways. Give me North Carolina -7. The one thing about North Carolina, we said, Sam Howell, he struggles with a pass rush. Well, what's Miami, Florida struggling to do? Generate a pass rush. We saw North Carolina just – absolutely crushed Miami, Florida last year. This could seem like, you know, one of those games. Because if North Carolina's offense is rolling early, they just seem like they roll the entire game. If North Carolina's offense stinks early, it seems like they stink the entire game. So give me UNC -7 this week. And this game is great for DFS if North Carolina's going to do that. You can play two North Carolina running backs. Josh Downs, a wide receiver. He's a stud. Sam Howell, he should have plenty of time to throw. I like him. He's ran the ball more this week, more this year. Fire this game up from a DFS perspective. Miami has a backup quarterback in there. I don't think he's any good. You can take your chances with him. The Miami wide receivers, if they're down, like I expect, Charleston Rambo, Mike Harley, maybe. Keyshawn Smith, maybe. Running backs, they do rotate, so not as interested in them. But UNC minus 7, lock it up. Let's review the picks last week. 4-1 on the season. We are 18-9. UNC minus 7 is a selection. Michigan State minus 4.5 is a selection. Texas A&M minus 8.5. That is a selection. And then we have Purdue plus 11.5. That is a selection. And then we have Florida minus 10. So if you look at what we took here, we have UNC going against maybe a lame duck coach and a backup quarterback. We have Michigan State going against a backup quarterback. We have Texas A&M. They already fired one coach in the program against a team like Missouri who's looked terrible on defense. We took Purdue. Maybe we're thinking Iowa's a little fluky. We like the matchup. And then we're taking Florida, LSU. Sorry. They're out. They're down their best two cornerbacks. They're down their best receiver. And their coach is on the hot seat. So that's who we picked against this week. Words of wisdom. Buffalo lovers, we're getting to the year where those injuries are mounting up. Like, they're really, really mounting. And we're not really getting sometimes a ton of information. We're getting a lot of, oh, he's questionable this week. He's questionable. He's questionable. And I think this year we've gotten pretty lucky as far as like, hey, this, we figured out this guy's out Thursday or Friday. But I'm telling you, the time is going to come where we have Saturday morning, like, okay, A's out, this guy's out, this guy's out, this guy's out, this guy's out. What do we do? So what I'm preaching here is let's not be, complacent, kind of saying, okay, they're not going to have, many injuries. Injuries are coming, and we're going to have to be really diligent and act on the fly with some of these injuries because some of them can mean a really, really heck of a lot. And then if you have a COVID thing too, something also to watch for as well. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for reading your views. They always help. Remember, guys, this is literally just Thursday night recording. This is initial thoughts. You could always find the detailed breakdowns. That's Friday nights, be up there too. Saturday main slate, Saturday night slate, cupscorner.com. Until next time, make some memories.